Gyananjana Shalakaya Chudanvandana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishta Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare We have a tray, a bell offering. You don't have to bring it now, but I just want to make sure it's like ready. So, thank you. Bhagavad Gita. We live by and in the Bhagavad Gita, and all problems of life are solved by hearing the Bhagavad Gita and following Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. There's not one difficulty that cannot be rectified. Or problem that can't be rectified by following Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. And conversely, all problems that I have in my life are due to not following the Bhagavad Gita carefully. Boss. Now, when it comes to eating, this is a big issue because all living entities eat. On the scale of consciousness, Annamoy is the beginning, and even protoplasm eat, and fishes eat, and squirrels eat, and elephants eat. Everyone eats. All living entities in a physical body eat. They take in fuel. And that's one way to realize Krishna, actually. We're never separated from Krishna. We're always with Krishna. Krishna is the food, and he is the water. And those who are becoming reconnected with Krishna through deliberate practice of consciousness can do so by eating. That's the good news. And if we follow Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita, which I'm going to read forthwith, then we can do it very easily. Eating becomes a yajna. Eating becomes a means to connect with Krishna. And it purifies our consciousness, our body, our entire existence. Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, which is called, thank you, and it's text number 12. Ishtan Bhogan Hivo Deva. Dasyante yajnabhavitaha Terdatan apradayaibhyo Tairdatan apradayaibhyo Yo puncte stena eva saha. Jagnashishta sina shanto. Muchante sarvakil bishai. Bunjate tetukam papa. Ye pachantyat makarana. Translations. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods is, in return, is certainly a thief. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The devotees of the Lord, or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness, are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hridayesha vilokayanti yam shama sundara machintya guna swarupam govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. The santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajnas in different modes of devotional service, such as shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, etc. And these performances of yajna keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, but also the eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in this world. The word meanings, yajnashishta, of food taken after performance, yajna, Ashinaha, eaters, Santa, the devotees, Muchante, get relief, Sarva, all kinds of, Kilbishai, from sins, Bunjate, enjoy, Te, they, to, but, Agam, grievous sins, Papa, sinners, yea, who, pachanti, prepare food, atmakaranat, for sense enjoyment. Translation again. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Sarve pieti jagyavido. Jagna shapita kolmashaha. Jagna shishtamrita bujo. Yanti brahma sanatanam. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing many kinds of sacrifices that people perform in order to come to a higher level of consciousness, that is, to come closer to God. And then he says in this verse, all these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reaction. And having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance toward the supreme, spiritual, eternal atmosphere. And in the next verse, Krishna says, O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, One can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? And the third verse I'd like to enter into, or the fifth verse I'd like to enter into evidence, is from the third chapter again, number 25. Sakta karma dividbamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvamstata shaktas chikir shur lokasangraham. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. So the first set of verses I talked about were Krishna in Karma Yoga section of the Bhagavad Gita speaks about offering food for sacrifice before eating it. And this is a universal process for those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, is to offer the food first to the Lord. Then it becomes purified. And we can take that food and our existence becomes purified. And if we don't do that, then Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, we're eating sin. And that accumulates in the body and in the mind and in the heart. And in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada speaks about eating food prepared by wicked men, and one's consciousness becomes defiled by that process. So actually the consciousness that goes into the cooking of the food, the preparation, and then the offering, it's in the grains, it's in the food itself. So when we eat it, we become affected like that. There was a Hollywood movie about 15 years ago, I think, that had this same theme, that people were cooking and then anyone who'd eat the food, you know, it was like they were casting a spell on people practically just by cooking. And it was very much to this point that whatever we eat, whoever's cooking it and however it's offered, that will have a definite effect on our consciousness. So this is the basic principle that Krishna establishes in the Bhagavad Gita. And he says, if you perform sacrifice, then you'll taste amrita. That's what he said in the fourth chapter. That if you do that, then you'll experience some actual happiness by performing yajna, because Krishna lives in yajna. And he asked the question of Arjuna, how can anybody be happy in this life or the next life without performing yajna? So those who hear this from the Bhagavad Gita and implement it into their life, this simple kind of yajna of offering the food first for sacrifice, as a sacrifice to Krishna. It takes time and a little energy and consciousness to do it, but that's the point. And when you do, then the eating process becomes completely purified. Now, there are cases where people are spontaneously in love of Krishna, and we read stories about how, devotees, they see everything in relationship to Krishna, so whatever they're eating is kind of like prasadam. But in the third chapter, 25th verse, Krishna mentions that even though it's on a very elevated platform, they go out of their way to go through the process of offering and showing how to do things for the benefit of others so they don't lead others astray. So it's a good idea from all points of view to offer one's food to Krishna before taking it. And if you're on the spontaneous platform, then going through the process anyway is good for the rest of us. And I thank you for that. I'm going to read a couple of really nice pastimes. Do you have Antya Lila chapter 2? Thank you. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktarinda. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appeared in four places: in the household temple of Mother Shachi, in the places where Shri Nityananda Prabhu danced, in the house of Srivas Pandit during congregational chanting, and in the house of Raghava Pandit. He appeared because of his attraction to the love of his devotees. That is his natural characteristic. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before Nityananda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before Nrisinghananda Brahmachari and ate his offerings. Please hear about this with attention. Shivananda Sen had a nephew named Srikanta Sen who lived by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely fortunate. One year, Srikanta Sen came alone to Jagannath Puri in great eagerness to see the Lord. Seeing Srikanta Sen, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed causeless mercy upon him. Srikanta Sen stayed near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for about 2 months at Jagannath Puri. When he was about to return to Bengal, the Lord told him, "Forbid the devotees of Bengal to come to Jagannath Puri this year. This year I shall personally go to Bengal and meet all the devotees there, headed by Advaitacharya. Please inform Shivananda Sen that in the month of Pausha, December, January, I shall certainly go to his home. Jagannanda is there, and he will give me offerings of food. Inform them all that no one should come to Jagannath Puri this year." When Srikanta Sen returned to Bengal and delivered this message, the minds of all the devotees were very pleased. Advaitacharya was just about to go to Jagannath Puri with the other devotees, but upon hearing this message, he waited. Shivananda Sen and Jagannanda also stayed back, awaiting the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the month of Pausha arrived, Jagannanda and Shivananda collected all kinds of paraphernalia for the Lord's reception. Every day they would wait until evening for the Lord to come. As the month passed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come. Jagannanda and Shivananda became most unhappy. Suddenly, Nrisinghananda arrived, and Jagannanda and Shivananda arranged for him to sit near them. Seeing them both so unhappy, Nrisinghananda inquired, "Why do I see that you are both so despondent?" Then Shivananda Sen told him, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu promised that he would come. Why then has he not arrived?" Hearing this, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari replied, "Please be satisfied. I assure you that I will bring him here 3 days from now." Shivananda and Jagannanda knew of Nrisinghananda Brahmachari's influence and love of Godhead. Therefore, they now felt assured that he would certainly bring Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His real name was Pradyumna Brahmachari. The name Nrisinghananda had been given to him by Lord Gaurasundar himself. After meditating for 2 days, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari told Shivananda Sen, "I have already brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the village known as Panihati. Tomorrow at noon he will come to your home. Therefore, please bring all kinds of cooking ingredients. I shall personally cook and offer him food. In this way, I shall bring him here very soon. Be assured that I am telling you the truth. Do not be doubtful. Bring all the ingredients very soon, for I want to begin cooking immediately. Please do what I say." Nrisinghananda Brahmachari said to Shivananda, "Please bring whatever cooking ingredients I want." Thus Shivananda Sen immediately brought whatever he asked for. Beginning early in the morning, Nrisinghananda Brahmachari cooked many varieties of food, including vegetables, cakes, sweet rice, and other preparations. After he finished cooking, he brought separate dishes for Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also separately offered dishes to Nrisinghadev, his worshipable deity. So who did he make plates for? Right, so three plates. He was making three offerings. So this is one principle in offering. You know, you get the ingredients, you get first-class ingredients for the Lord, and then you have a separate plate when you're offering. You can't offer on the plates that you eat off of, so you keep a special plate. He also separately offered dishes to Nrisinghadev, his worshipable deity. Thus he divided all the food into three offerings. Then outside the temple, he began to meditate on the Lord. In his meditation, he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quickly come, sit down, and eat all three offerings, leaving behind no remnants. Now, another point in offering is the meditation. How are we offering to the Lord? It's from our feeling we're offering. We offer prayers, we set the plate, but there's, as Nrisinghananda did here, he sat down and he meditated on the Lord. And in this case, he saw the Lord eating. Now, in the case when we sit down and eat, we meditate on the Lord taking his seat, and we also offer for the spiritual master to come, and then we meditate on them taking the offering that we've given. In his meditation, he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quickly come, sit down, and eat all three offerings, leaving behind no remnants. Pradyumna Brahmachari was overwhelmed by transcendental ecstasy upon seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating everything. Thus, tears flowed from his eyes. Nevertheless, he expressed dismay, saying, "Alas, alas, my dear Lord, what are you doing? You're eating everyone's food. My dear Lord, you are one with Jagannath, therefore I have no objection to your eating his offering, but why are you touching the offering for Lord Nrisingadev? I think that Nrisingadev could not eat anything today, and therefore he is fasting. If the master fasts, how can the servant live? Although Nrisingadev..." Now, this is a good point also. If the master fasts, how can the servant live? We should take those words to heart. One time I was traveling. I'd been on a long trip, and I came into Bangkok, and I carried my Didi with me, and I got to the house of the friend I was staying at, who was a sadhu, and somehow or other I put my Didi on the altar, and I was starving and all this kind of thing, and I was about to take some food or something like that, and he said, "What kind of sadhu are you? You're not going to feed your deity." I always remember those words. "What kind of sadhu are you?" And so anyway, this principle is there that the Lord eats and then we eat. When he's satisfied, we become satisfied. And it's a fact. It's like when you feed the Lord nicely, then you'll feel satisfied in so many ways. It's the yajna. It's the system you offer first to the Lord. Although Nrisingananda Brahmachari felt jubilation within his heart to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eating everything, for the sake of Lord Nrisingadev, he externally expressed disappointment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of God in himself. Therefore, there's no difference between him, Lord Jagannath, and Lord Nrisingadev. Pradyumna Brahmachari was deeply eager to understand this fact. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed it to him by practical demonstration. After eating all the offerings, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started for Panihati. He was greatly satisfied to see the different varieties of vegetables prepared in the house of Raghava. Shivananda Sen said to Nrisingananda, "Why are you expressing dismay?" Nrisingananda replied, "Just see the behavior of your Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He alone has eaten the offerings for all three deities. Because of this, both Jagannath and Nrisingadev remain fasting." When Shivananda Sen heard the statement, he was unsure whether Nrisingananda Brahmachari was speaking that way because of ecstatic love or because it was actually a fact. When Shivananda Sen was thus perplexed, Nrisingananda Brahmachari said to him, "Bring more food. Let me cook again for Lord Nrisingadev." Then Shivananda Sen again brought the ingredients with which to cook, and Pradyumna Brahmachari again cooked and offered the food to Nrisingadev. The next year, Shivananda went to Jagannath Puri with all the other devotees to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, in the presence of all the devotees, the Lord praised these topics concerning Nrisingananda Brahmachari and praised his transcendental qualities. The Lord said, "Last year, in the month of Pausha, when Nrisingananda gave me varieties of sweetmeats and vegetables to eat, they were so good that I felt I had never before eaten such preparations." Hearing this, all the devotees were struck with wonder, and Shivananda became confident that the incident was true. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to eat at the temple of Sachimata every day and also visit the house of Srivas Thakur when kirtan was performed. Similarly, he was always present when Nityananda Prabhu danced, and he regularly appeared at the house of Raghava. Lord Gaurasundar is greatly influenced by the love of his devotees. Therefore, wherever there is pure devotion to the Lord himself, subdued by such love, appears, and his devotees see him. Tadejati tadnajati tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya sibayataha. The Srisha Upanishad said, "The Lord is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything." So we should know that when we offer something to Krishna with love, it's not mechanical, then he appears. He can accept it from Goloka Vrindavan. If we offer with love and devotion, then he's attracted to the offering. So this is one of the principles that we'll see, that it's offered with love and devotion to the Lord. patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhaktyu paritam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. Is everyone all right? The temperature's okay? Okay. 6, 3, 2. The next is about Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das spent more than 22 hours out of every 24 chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. He ate and slept for less than an hour and a half, and on some days that was also impossible. Topics concerning his renunciation are wonderful. Throughout his life, he never allowed his tongue sense gratification. He never touched anything to wear except a small torn cloth and a patchwork wrapper. Thus, he very rigidly executed the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever he ate was only to keep his body and soul together, and when he ate, he would reproach himself thus. If one's heart has been cleansed by perfect knowledge and one has understood Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, then he gains everything. Why should such a person act like a debauchee by trying to maintain his material body very carefully? Lord Jagannath's prasadam is sold by shopkeepers, and that which is not sold decomposes after 2 or 3 days. All the decomposed food is thrown before the cows from Tailunga at the Singhadwar gate. Because of its rotten odor, even the cows cannot eat it. At night, Raghunath Das would collect that decomposed rice, bring it home, and wash it with ample water. Then he ate the hard inner portion of the rice with salt. One day, Swarup Damodar saw the activities of Raghunath Das. Thus he smiled and asked for a portion of that food and ate it. Swarup Damodar said, "You eat such nectar every day, but you never offer it to us. What is your character?" When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard news of this from the mouth of Govinda, he went there the next day and spoke as follows. "What nice things are you eating? Why don't you give anything to me?" Saying this, he forcibly took a morsel and began to eat. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thus taking another morsel of food, Swarup Damodar caught him by the hand and said, "It is not fit for you." Thus he forcibly took the food away. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Of course, every day I eat varieties of prasadam, but I have never tasted such nice prasadam as that which Raghunath is eating." Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many pastimes at Jagannath Puri, seeing the severe penances performed by Raghunath Das in the renounced order. The Lord was greatly satisfied. So what lesson is there in that story about prasadam? What's that? Yes, take prasadam, definitely. This is some special kind of prasadam, yes.
Prasadam is precious, but it's not something like bhoga that can just go bad.
Yes. And one more? Son?
I was just going to say the same thing. Prasadam doesn't get contaminated.
And as far as the Lord accepting offerings,
with love and affection.
Yeah, it's just that he's, even if it's an insignificant thing, and it's not that we should also offer something that's, you know, the cows won't eat. But the principle here is that Krishna is attracted, just as in the pastime Sudama Brahman, because Sudama brought some chipped rice, paltry chipped rice. Krishna wanted to eat it because there was love in it. And it goes to the intention of the offering. There's a saying, we should offer with love and devotion, not with lust and commotion. So, you know, when somebody offers you something out of love and appreciation, even if it's insignificant offering, if it's done with conscious appreciation and intention and gratitude and love, then you'll accept it and you'll think, what a nice thing. Someone gives you a really insignificant token, but it's really out of love, you'll take it. And if someone gives you something with another motivation, like they want something in return, then to that degree, it becomes sullied. And let's ask Sunny for a comment on this. This way. We have two Sunnies in the room now. Sunny? We'd like to get his unique perspective.
No, just thinking material world, we usually, if somebody offers with love and devotion, we look at the price tag and say, $10? What the hell? seriously, love matters. So even if somebody gives you, I've heard this practically, like material world, if there's a wedding reception in a huge hotel where it's $1,000 per head, and they don't give personal attention to that person who's invited, they still talk bad about that person. Yeah. But if there's this reception which is like very cheap, but you have personal attention from that person, from the host, you feel really good after coming back from there.
Good example of which we just had experience. Now, Sandhya's daughter's wedding wasn't cheap at all, I'm sure. But also there was personal attention to all the devotees and to all the details, and therefore it was a successful yajna. Everyone felt it. Everyone felt bucks. Sorry, don't mind, but it's just a fact. And this is a nice point. So this is the point of offering. It's the basic principle of offering that we have, the love has to be there. Otherwise, the offering is not acceptable. It's not a mechanical process. And you know it in your own personal life because the soul is very perceptive. And you know if someone gives you something and there's something attached, you know, you'll be falling asleep that night and all of a sudden it'll come into your mind. It's like, he didn't really like me. He just gave it to me because he wanted something from me. Just like when you write an email, there's an etiquette. You know this? When you write a letter to someone, say if you want to borrow someone's lawnmower. And so then if in the beginning of the letter you say, blah, 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 you know, how's your wife, your kids, you know, you're a really nice guy and the whole thing. And at the end it says, by the way, can I borrow your lawnmower? Then everything before that becomes moot. The person immediately thinks, he didn't care about me, my wife, the weather. He just wanted my lawnmower. So actually, in writing, one should state the thing first, get it out of the way. I want to borrow your lawnmower. And by the way, your family. My point is that intention is a very... Yeah. Or write a separate letter, even better. But the point is, when something's mixed with a motive, I want something back, it doesn't have the potency it doesn't have. So the offering is... Yes. Yes.
Like a few years ago when I started offering Bhoga to Krishna, the first thing that used to come in my mind was, Krishna, I need to purify myself. So please eat it, you know? Mm-hmm. So as what you were giving me an example, so I'm just trying to think that should we even have that kind of a thought in our mind, because we're actually telling Krishna, please eat it because I want to purify myself. But nowadays I start feeling that, okay, is it that I'm giving Krishna because I want to purify myself, or is it that really I want to feed Krishna because Krishna is,
you know, that's not really bad. Of course, you know, any reason we offer something to Krishna, it's not bad. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Vida Bhajante Mam Jana Sukritino Arjuna Arto Jignasa Artarti Gyanicha Bharatarshaba. Four kinds of pious people approach me, and they're all good. Some people approach Krishna because they want wealth, some are in distress, but Krishna accepts them all. And there are different reasons for doing devotional service. One reason is out of fear. Another reason is out of duty. Another reason is out of prospect. Another reason is out of love. There are different gradations, but what you're saying is not a bad thing. It's actually understanding what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, I'm a part and parcel. I'm living the life of bhakti and connection to you. So please purify my existence so I can do more service. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. And I also was wondering that you were mentioning that, you know, when I start having my deities, I just thought that, okay, first I want to just offer 3 times water. You know, start with something very minimum. And then whatever I would cook, I would offer. But nowadays, I started feeling that since they are really there at home, I have to cook something. Like, for example, on Wednesday night when I come to the temple, I don't really cook anything at home. So then I started feeling that what will deities eat, you know? So I was wondering that is it that when we have deities, it's nice to cook something little for them, even though we are not going to be eating at home?
With the home standard, that's not so much a consideration. It's nice what you're saying, but over time, that's... if you have the luxury and the time to make those kinds of offerings, then it's fine. And you should make some arrangements so the Lord is satisfied. It's a personal thing. But in general, with your home offering, you know, it's about what the family's going to eat, and then you offer those things so that so everyone's taking prashadam. But certainly the principle is there, like on the altar, if you have a little cup of water for the Lord and things like that, you're thinking in a personal way to make sure his satisfaction. And if there's some kind of offering that's simple that you want to make sure that you do every day, then that's fine. But the main principle is that you'll have to be able to maintain your service and your duties and at the same time also worship the Lord and not get into complete anxiety. So find the kind of a schedule that you can do that on for your home worship.
Thank you.
Okay, so from the Adi Lila, this is the last pastime from the Chaitanya Charitamrita I want to read. This is about Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya Goswami is an incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. His loud calling was the cause of Krishna's incarnation. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, first he creates the incarnations of his respectable predecessors. Thus, respectable personalities such as his father, mother, and spiritual master all take birth on earth first. Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Srimati Sachi Devi, and Srila Jagannath Mishra all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of a Lord which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Seeing the activities of the world, the Acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. Advaita Acharya thought, if Sri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he himself could preach devotion by his personal example. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, but how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. My name, Advaita, will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. While he was thinking about how to propitiate Krishna by worship, the following verse came to his mind. Tulasi dala matrena jalasya chulukenava vikrinite swamatmanam bhakti bhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. Can I read it again? Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. Advaita Acharya considered the meaning of this verse in this way. Not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Thus the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. Considering in this way, the Acharya began worshiping the Lord. Thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he constantly offered tulsi buds in water from the Ganges. He appealed to Sri Krishna with loud calls and thus made it possible for Krishna to appear. Therefore, the principal reason for Sri Chaitanya's descent in this is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. So there's a couple of principles here. One is, always offer tulsi. Whatever offering you give to Krishna has to have tulsi. And if you don't have fresh tulsi leaves, then you can offer dried tulsi leaves. If you don't have dried tulsi leaves, you can offer tulsi powder that comes from the dried leaves that were at the bottom of the bag. If you don't have tulsi powder, you can offer a tulsi stick. If you don't have a tulsi stick, you can, well, I don't know where you live, but you can say tulsi, because her name is so auspicious. When you make the offering, you can say her name, invoke tulsi, tulsi, tulsi on the offerings. but Tulsi must be there. He gave, the Lord gave Tulsi this benediction that he wouldn't eat anything that wasn't connected with Tulsi. So this is a very specific thing. Devotees maintain a Tulsi plant at great cost and trouble. Like, we have a grow light now for Tulsi here. And this is one of the principles. And the other is that if you offer Krishna what he asked for, as it said in the Shastra, the Gotamiya Chantra said, offer Krishna water and Tulsi leaves, and you ask him, please appear in my life, please come and help me, he'll come. So these are important things to remember when we're making offerings. Now, as far as the, thank you, so-called the ritual of offering, or the mechanics of offering. First, I'll give a disclaimer. I have recently, over the last year, I did a in-depth study of the different Vaishnav processes for offering food to the Lord. That includes the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the book that was written after Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami that he should make a book of Vaishnav etiquette and tell all the different rituals from A to Z, how a Vaishnav should live. I looked at that book very carefully. Also, there are three Archanapadatis that are floating around ISKCON now. This is the original one, actually an original copy that I got in 1975 and I had been using for many years. And this particular Archanapadati was requested by Srila Prabhupada himself because he introduced some simple ways to offer and to do to Artik. But he asked that some of the Sanskrit scholars and devotees gather together the information from the Archanapadati, which is a compilation of methods of worshiping the Lord in puja, from the Hari Bhakti Vilas that was put together by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This particular Archanapadati is a translation of the Archanapadati from one of the Gaudiya Math, the Keshava Gaudiya Math. It has a way, among other things, there are different ways of worshiping the Lord in puja, with puja. And in this book also, there's a description of how to offer food. This is another Archanapadati that's come out in ISKCON a little bit later, which is also out of print, called the Panchratra Pradeep, which was commissioned by the GBC and a group of devotees put together. It also has an elaborate description of different kinds of ways to worship the Lord and offer food even. And it's slightly different from the process in this book. Here's another Archanapadati, which was compiled by one time, the minister of deity worship for ISKCON, Gaur Keshava Prabhu, who's very learned in all kinds of Vaishnav rituals, he felt that this Archanapadati was way too hard to use because he had to jump back and forth to different sections, so he wrote this one in cookbook style. This, by the way, is also out of print. It's typical of Archanapadatis. They only print a certain amount. That's why I bought all the last copies I could when I found out it existed. And the process for offering food to the Lord is slightly different in this one from in these two. I'm telling you this first because the details of exactly how to offer will differ from place to place and in book to book, and they're not important. They are details. But what is important are the basic principles, and that's what I'm going to talk about right now. And then I'm going to demonstrate an offering, a simple offering. There are more elaborate details that you can add, but unless the principles are present when you offer food to the Lord, then the details don't matter anyway. Is that all right? Okay. Principles for offering. The first is, or the principles of offering. The first principle is that you must offer everything before you eat. That's a general principle that that I confirmed from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna himself says it very directly, that don't eat food which is not offered for sacrifice. So that's the basic principle. Before you eat anything, offer it. And in fact, if you get in a debate with somebody who's a meat eater about vegetarianism, we're not vegetarians. We're not. We're not vegetarian. You can't win that argument that I'm a vegetarian because vegetables have life too. You killed the potato and so on and so forth. You know, there are fairly good arguments for vegetarianism and it makes a lot of sense. But our main point is that we only eat food which is offered first to Krishna. So offer your food. Now, Krishna only accepts certain kinds of food. When you eat food which is offered, it frees you from the modes of nature. It regenerates your body and it purifies your consciousness. The second principle that's common in all of the Archanapadides and Prabhupada's original instructions on deity worship, everyone has this principle, is that you must approach Krishna through the spiritual master. We are das, 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 anu das. Krishna says himself in the Adi Purana that one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who says he's the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. So in the process of deity worship, we first go through the spiritual master. In other words, we're offering on behalf of the spiritual master, who's offering on behalf of his spiritual master, etc., through the line of disciplic succession. This is a common principle for any kind of deity worship, not that we're doing it directly, but we're doing it on behalf of our spiritual master. The third principle, which is universal, is that your offerings must be personal. And attention to detail indicates seriousness and personalness. So, as I mentioned already, offerings should include tulsi. One should offer personal prayers from the heart, not mechanically. Offerings should be done in an atmosphere of cleanliness. If I give you a glass of water that's full of dirt, will you like it? If you go to someone's house and they give you a dirty glass of water, is that very personal? In a restaurant, if someone finds a hair in their food, it's a scandal, actually. And so the point is, cleanliness means personalness. It's an attention to detail, how you offer. One of the most important things is make sure it's clean. Even if it's not elaborate, even if it's a simple or humble offering, if you make it clean, anyone can clean something. Clean it first and then offer it. And just think how you feel when someone gives you something like a glass of water if it's not clean. So that means personalness if you clean. And also about the D is punctuality. So every household has a schedule. According to your own schedule, regularly offer your food to Krishna and don't be lazy. So in the temple, the punctuality means that we should be on the minute when we make the offerings. And in the home, it means that we should observe the principle of offering to Krishna, even if it means that it takes a little bit more trouble. We shouldn't just cook it and then eat it. We should make sure that we don't become lazy and we observe this principle of first offering it before Krishna. So the four principles, who can remember? Everything should be offered. Only eat food which is offered, right? Okay. That's one. What's another principle? Offerings should be personal, not mechanical. Personalness is very important. Punctuality. Cleanliness is a principle. Tulsi, always offer tulsi. What else? Pardon? With love and devotion? Das on a das. We should think I'm offering on behalf of my spiritual master at this, that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. I'm making this humble offering. And offer prayers from the heart and not mechanically. Offer with love and devotion, not with lust and commotion. Yes?
So we should be thinking about offering on behalf of the spiritual master to Krishna or offering to spiritual master itself?
Offering, well, all the offerings we're considering that if you offer something to your spiritual master in the Archandapadati, it's considered that you're taking permission. In other words, you're showing the article first to your spiritual master and then offering to Krishna. And the other side is if you offer to your spiritual master, then you're considering that the spiritual master is offering it up. So either way. And it's seen both ways in different ways of offering. But the point is that like in a traditional system, you would go and in the morning offer your worship to your spiritual master and then take his permission to worship the Lord. When you go on the altar, it's like you're asking permission that I'm going to worship on behalf of my spiritual master. Then you offer the articles. And if you're showing an article to the spiritual master, you consider either that he's offering it up to his spiritual master and it going up to Krishna, or that you're showing it and on his behalf you're taking permission that now I'm going to offer on your behalf. That's the mood of a person who's offering on behalf. So a couple ways of looking at it, but the mood is the same. Is that okay? So that's why I'm saying in every different aspect, there are different details of how people offer. It's not a mechanical thing, but the mood is there. That's why when we offer and we do it in a certain way, we're thinking, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. Yes.
How long the offering should be kept in front of the room? Minimum time? Minimum minutes?
Well, there are different circumstances. In the temple, generally it's about 20 minutes, long enough for the Lord to enjoy the offering that you've given. And I've seen in some temples where they'll put the offering on, off, and it's distributed. But if that's the system in the temple, that's and the Lord's taking like that, and they're distributing the prasad to others or something like that, then that's also acceptable. That's a detail also. It's not like an exact set time, except in the temple. Generally, you're thinking in a personal way. The Lord's eating. You give him a little time to actually eat it. Another thing?
What is the home standard for this then?
The home standard is that according to the rhythm of the household, one offers to the Lord. So say you're going to be late for work and you have to make an offering or something like that, and you say, we've got to wait 20 minutes, I say, sorry I'm late, but I had to wait 20 minutes for the offering. That's not going to work according to your schedule. So at home, you have to offer according to what's practical for your life. You have kids, you have a job, you have things to do, and you have to offer. The point is that you offer. And I've found that if you set up your kitchen and your altar so that you do offer, so it's an automatic, it becomes muscle memory after a while. And when it's not, you'll notice exactly that the tongue and the stomach will say, let's eat, let's eat, let's eat, and say, no, we got to offer first. And you're kidding me, not again, then you realize that Krishna comes first, not you either. And then you offer, and then you feel peace. And that's yoga. This is our yoga. We actually control the tongue long enough to offer it first to Krishna. And then you feel some satisfaction. Just like when your mind says, I'm too busy to read Bhagavad Gita today. 10 minutes? Too busy? And then when you actually start reading it, then you feel satisfaction throughout your body, mind, and senses, and you control. So vacho vegam, manasa krota vegam, all these vegas are controlled. First offer to Krishna, you'll be relieved of the burden that's imposed upon you by your tongue and stomach. So that's the basic principle. Do offer. And how long you do it at home, it's not so much of an issue, just as long as you do it. And even if it's quick, it's a quick thing. If you do it, with the consciousness that I do this first, this is my principle. I only offer food which is offered to Krishna first. And if you need to arrange it in such a way that the offering is more simple, more simplified, then do that. But follow the basic principles. The details can differ. At other times, you might offer a more elaborate offering and you might let it, stay longer, leave it longer for the Lord. But follow the basic principles. And if you stick to those, then you'll have it down right. There's two questions.
I just had a quick question, Prabhu. I wanted to know that you were mentioning about the three plates for Jagannath while you were reading. But at home, when we have three sets of deities, like Radharani.
One plate is fine for everyone. You can offer everything from one plate. And in fact, in a lot of the offerings of puja, there are all kinds of details. You can do full-blown puja where every different little cup and plate, you do a puja to the cup and plate before you set it down. And then each one has a different kind of... there's Padyam, there's Argyam, there's Achmaniya, there's Madhuparka. Each one of those should have their own little patra, or can have their own little patra, and each one is a mixture of certain things that you have to prepare ahead of time and get the ingredients from all over the world. And the other way of doing it is everything can be offered by meditation out of your Achman cup. And when you're offering Padyam, Argyam, Achmaniya, Madhuparka, it all comes out of the Achman cup, and you'd say the mantra. And you say, this is water, but you're saying, my Lord, this is Madhuparka. And he'll accept it like that. So there's substitutions, but the principle is there again. One plate is okay. You had a question?
What I want to find out is that, do we have to offer in front of the deity? Because in our place, like, the kitchen is slightly away.
Can you use the microphone?
Sure.
Hi.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that with kids and with family, it becomes a little difficult. So is it okay to have a separate set of deity just there next to the kitchen, and then you can offer there? Or is it even okay, let's say, sometimes not always very clean when you're making food, so when you just before eating, you just close your eyes and just offer mentally? Are these all okay forms of offering, or is it like we always go to the deities are and the offer there?
Well, Srivas Pandit Prabhu answered this question in his Bhakti Shastri class. I heard the other day someone asked about this. You know, that sometimes I'm cooking a whole pot of thing, I just offer the whole pot mentally or something. I forget what the exact question was, but it all comes in the same category that, you know, it's sometimes you'll be really busy and you'll have to do it in a really abbreviated way. And his answer was that, you can do that under rare circumstances, but really think a lot about it before you do that. Otherwise, you'll get into a pattern of laziness. And that's what this punctuality I'm talking about. It's a principle. Set up your life so that you don't fall into this pattern of... Because what happens is it's a slippery slope. Once you start down that slope of like, oh, well, I'll just cut this out, I'll cut that, I'll cut this out, and then it's like, you know, like, okay, you know. and then you miss out on the opportunity to actually engage your senses and go through the process. If at some time there's no other way, your hands are tied and you know, you can't do it, yes, offer it in your mind and feel that, you know, mentally do it. Sometimes when I'm traveling on the road, I can't pull out all my puja paraphernalia and do it. So I'll sit down tight, I'll say all the mantras, and I'll meditate going through each one of the articles and offering it. What more could I do? I'm sitting in an airplane or something like that. And in rare circumstances, but check yourself, because if you get into that pattern of always doing it like that, then you go down that slippery slope and there's no end to it, actually. Okay? And we'll take one or two more questions, and then we'll show what an offering plate looks like, and we'll explain the basic principles that should be there in every offering. Okay. Who has questions? One, two. Okay, two more questions. Or three.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, in professional life, we might have to go to for outing and a dinner or lunch with the boss. So if you ask 10 times, you cannot avoid him 10 times. So what should we do in that case?
Well, you should, Hare Krishna, you should pray to Krishna. We should always pray to Krishna, but we're in that circumstance where you can't avoid it. You know, take whatever innocent food is the most innocent thing that you possibly can. And in your mind, you should, you know, say to Krishna, I'm in this circumstance, and this food's coming from you, and thank you very much, and I'm going to take.
Thanks, Prabhu.
You
Thanks.
Do what you have to do.
So when offering is done, are there any specific prayers to be said, or it's very much one's personal offering?
Okay. Well, this comes to the details. Srila Prabhupada early on gave us some very simple kinds of instruction about deity worship. And for offering food to the Lord, he gave us three mantras. which incidentally are not in the Archanapadati or anywhere else. But they follow the principle of, you know, meditating on the Lord out of, you know, out of love and saying, and those three prayers are the pranam prayers. Pranam prayers to the spiritual master, pranam prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and offering Namo Brahmanya Devaya. So the three prayers he gave us, his disciples, were Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarane. He said, do that three times, then say three times Namo Mahavananyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gortuse Nama, and then three times Namo Brahmanya Devaya Gobramani Hitaycha Jagatitaya Krishna Govindaya Namo Namaha. In the beginner's guide here, we have this beginner's guide that Bhakti Vikas Swami has put together. There's an explanation, this simple kind of offering. Now, I just want to elaborate on this just a little bit more. Yes?
Prabhuji, that is in the Bhakti Yoga, that book, Bhakti Yoga.
In the back. In the back of the book, yeah. So those three prayers Prabhupada gave us as you know, a way to meditate. Really, you're meditating on this principle that I'm offering to my spiritual master, I'm taking permission from my spiritual master to for this offering. And then you're meditating on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, and then you're offering to Lord Krishna. Those three he gave us. Then in 1975, Prabhupada said, standardize the deity worship in ISKCON. Use the Archanapadati. This Archanapadati was translated. It was shown to Prabhupada. He approved it. It doesn't have the three prayers in it because that's not in the Archanapadati. Then there's kind of like cross current because some people say, well, Prabhupada gave us the other system, the three prayers. It's in most of our books saying, but it's not in the Archanapadati, which he approved. This book came out. There's both. The system for offering, which is in the Archanapadati, is for initiated devotees, and here's why. When you take Pantratrik initiation, you receive mantras from the spiritual master, and in our line we get a Brahminical thread. We do the Brahma Gayatri mantra. We do the there's a mantra for offering obeisance to the spiritual master, and then there's a Guru Gayatri mantra. There's an obeisances mantra to Lord Chaitanya, and then a Gora Gayatri mantra. Then there's the Gopal mantra, which is our main mantra for our Sampradaya, which you'll see in the Brahma Samhita, and also comes from the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. That's the Lakshan mantra from which all other deity worship mantras come in our worship system, and they expand from that mantra. And mantras which are used in deity worship must be received through the cyclic succession from a spiritual master. That's the order of Shastra. And then there's the Kama Gayatri mantra, which comes after that. So in the Archanapadati, there are what are called Mula mantras. And those are mantras which are directly indicate, they invoke this specific deity you're worshiping. So when you're offering food, you'll say, Idam Naivedyam. And then you'll say the name of the deity, Klim Goraya Namaha. Those Klim mantras, these are bija mantras which are received and are when one gets the Gopal mantra, and they expand from that mantra. So my point is that before taking initiation, there's a simplified way of offering, which is just to put the offering down, observe these very basic principles of offering, cleanliness, offering prayer, things like that, and just say to the Lord, please accept this offering. And then you can offer these simple prayers. After taking initiation and doing deity worship on the altar, you can use these other mula mantras which come into play. So the question was, I can't even remember, the question was about offering the prayers. These prayers, yes, there are specific prayers. There is a prayer which I've included, or I won't pass out today, but I'll post it up, and you can take all these things for asking permission from your spiritual master before you do the worship. And then you can offer, Prabhupada gave us these three prayers, so you can offer using these three prayers, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya, etc. And if you're initiated already, like Malini, when she offers Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, and she says the name of her spiritual master, because she's offering and taking permission, meditating on him, and going through the disciplic session. So that's the offering process. So yes, there are specific prayers and mantras, but you can also offer your own in addition, additional mantras if you want. Was that confusing enough for you? Okay, was... I thought about this a lot, how to present it, and I wanted to tell you from the very beginning what the principles are and that the details vary. They're all over the place, and they're even contentious in some places. You know, people say, no, you do it like this. No, you do it like that. So I want you to understand from the very beginning that the details are going to vary from one place to another, but the principles are the most important thing. And there are some basic understandings of how to apply the principle of the details as well, and we'll talk about those a little bit. Was that the last question? Yes, you had the last question. We're getting pretty late. So.
I have a quick question about offering food that you're not sure how it's been offered. Like if somebody says it's been offered, or because I know you're not supposed to offer Krishna food that's already prasad, because you know people wouldn't want to eat food that they've already eaten. But as far as offering something, like if you get a piece of fruit that somebody says may have been offered, but you're not sure, is it all right to offer that?
Should if you're not sure, someone? Don't offer it.
And then don't
you put it in another category, which is like an unknown category. Any kinds of things like that, you know, when you're not sure, don't go for it. Just put it aside, and you can consider it sort of a gray area. That fruit, you don't have to throw it away or something like that, but you can, you know, again, like eating at a restaurant or something like that, you pray to Krishna that, you know, my intention is here. I don't know where this came from, but, you know, if it's a fruit or something innocent like that.
Actually, on the same topic, I heard that it's okay to offer it to your spiritual master. Is that true? I mean, if you're not sure, rather than making a plate for Krishna and offering to your deities on the altar, you can mentally... meditate on your Guru Maharaj and ask him to accept it. Is that fine?
Sure, why not?
And so the question
sounds
I had
okay
is
me.
Bhagavad Gita 9th verse of 17th chapter. Krishna says that foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry, and burning are dear to those in a mode of passion, and such food cause distress, misery, and disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, further down in the text 10, in Prabhupada's purport, he says that foods in a mode of passion which are bitter, too salty, or too hot, or overly mixed with red pepper, cause misery by reducing the mucus in stomach, leading to disease. Now, my question was, I can't eat prasad that is in a temple because it is too hot. So I was wondering if it's offensive or not.
To not eat food? No, if there's something that you can't eat and digest, then it's not offensive to make some other arrangement. But just don't become a fanatic. Because Prabhupada didn't like fanaticism, and for good reason. A lot of times devotees, like in L.A., there was nice prasadam being presented, and then devotees got into, there was this doctor called Dr. Benish. And he was like, everything's got to be raw, and there's certain things on the planet you can eat. And some devotees got into this extreme health food kind of mentality and stopped eating prasadam and started eating like really extreme health food diets. And Prabhupada didn't like that at all. And for good reason, because the devotees started getting this mentality of thinking about specifically how to eat certain things for their health and avoiding prasadam altogether. If it's a certain circumstance where you can't digest, like if you're lactose intolerant and someone gives you a glass of milk, it's not offensive for you to say, I can't take this. Have some other arrangement. So same thing, if something's too hot for you and it'll you know, burn your system, then do something else. And also, you can talk to the cooks and say, you know, what's going on in there? Okay, so now, There's, yes. Yeah. Okay, so first thing is, so why don't we set it up over here? Like a, now you'll notice that as she's bringing in the offering, it's covered. So one of the details of making an offering is that you shouldn't expose it to the outside world. And you know, if there's dogs and lower animals, you're supposed to keep it covered. If they look at it, it contaminates the offering. If you're walking through a crowded room, and you know, everyone, when it comes by the offering, everyone's going, "Whoa, that looks good!" And you're like, "No, no, it's not offered yet." That contaminates the offering. Now, some of that's inevitable, and therefore there's what's called parisachana. And parisachana means that before you offer the food, you sprinkle it with a little bit of water. And on your puja tray, you should always have some purified water. That means, like, in your achman cup, you have water that's, you've either asked the Ganges and other holy waters to come, there's a mantra for doing that, or you've, you know, put a little drop of Ganges water in with it, or if it's just pure water from somewhere, you should use clean water when you do puja. Don't just use any old water. Nice to have purified water to offer the Lord, and even better when you bring the Ganga into. So, covered plate, that's the first thing. Now, on the list, a small bell on a plate. May I have an achman? Om Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayanaya Namaha. Om Madhavaya Namaha. So, before you start, purify your hands and say the mantras for achman, which we're going to learn in just a second. And that way, you're clean. That's one of the principles, right? Cleanliness. And then, before you set the plate down, you'll sprinkle some water down on the place itself. So before we actually put this plate down, we would put some water on. It just becomes second nature habit because water purifies everything. Then you put the plate down. Another thing is, this silver, we brought it to you in this condition of not being completely polished, just give you an example, that if you have silver, it should be highly polished. This is part of cleanliness. If you have copper, it should be polished all the time. Don't think you're being fanatical, because this is one of the principles. When the metal is shiny and clean and sparkling, then you'll feel that in your heart. And when you make the offering, it'll be much better. If you let your plates at home get tarnished and oxidized, like this one's starting to get, then when you make the offering, it's not as clean. It's part of personalness to keep it clean. So that's another principle. So one of the items that you need for offering, or that's nice to have anyway, is a small bell on a plate. Bell always stays on a plate, a little patra like this. So that's your bell. Achman cup. Who here has Achman cup at home? Oh, that's nice. I just ordered 50 more from Mayapur just in case. Then some arrangement for offering the plates, preferably low tables. So on your altar at home, if you have a space on the altar, you can put it there. Otherwise, you could put one of those little chunkies or a little table where you can set it in front of the altar. So you should have a nice, clear place where you can always put your offering. Cushions or mats for your spiritual master and the deities. So when you invite your spiritual master and the deities to come and take the offering, then in a nice arrangement, you can put those little asans right by where the plate is. If you don't have that and there's no room for it, you do it by meditation. Or you can also do it with flower petals. You can put the flower petals down and meditate that these are asans that you're offering. The next thing is obviously the food, the bhoga that you're going to be offering. You should also, when you do your puja, you should sit on a mat. It's mentioned in the Nectar Devotion, don't just sit on the floor. And the first item of business always before you start is perform achman, which I just did. And this mantra, which I'll post up, Sri Guru Paramananda Premananda Palaprad, Vrajananda Pradananda Sevyam Mam Niyojaya. My dear spiritual master who gives the fruit of the highest bliss, the bliss of love of God, please engage me in the blissful service of Sri Krishna who bestows bliss upon the land of Vraja. This is a mantra from the Archana Padati that one can speak before beginning offering or doing any kind of puja. And it follows this principle. What is the principle? Das, das, anudas, that I'm offering through a Vaishnav, not directly. So before entering the room or area where the altar is, you draw the Lord's attention by making a sound, either by ringing a bell or clapping your hands or knocking on the door. So we have this bell we ring when we come in, and when you go in front of your deities, you should announce that you're coming in, not just swoop in and do things, but either ring the bell or clap your hands, or you can knock just outside. It depends on the arrangement that you have in your home. Everything should be clean. Wash the area. This is one of the principles. Make sure that there's no remnants of other prasadam that are still there on the table where you're offering, on the plate that you're offering. This means cross-contamination. So just make sure everything's clean, the table, the place. There shouldn't be prasadam flower petals that are still there on the place where you're going to offer. Then you offer a sitting place for your spiritual master. And you can do that just with a gesture of your hand to offer a sitting place for your spiritual master. And then purify the offerings. So this is called parisachana. And from the achman cup, you can just sprinkle a little bit of water on the bhoga itself. This is called parisachana. In most places, they have a little conch shell, and the water from the conch shell, they'll sprinkle the water on the plate. Then you offer seats for the Lord to sit. So if you have Gornitai, then you can make a hand gesture. Please sit on these asans. And then for offering the bhoga itself, you ring the bell while you're offering. And as I said, there's two standards. One, you can say the mula mantras when you have the initiation mantras. Or you can just say, please, my Lord, please accept this offering. Please accept this offering. And then you can say these three prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatadeshtani. The idea is that when you've put the bhoga before the Lord, you've purified it, you've cleaned the place, then you ask them to sit down, then you ask them, please accept this offering. And when you're saying these mantras, then you're meditating. You're sitting meditating. Just like Nisringananda Brahmachari, he sat and meditated that the Lord is coming and taking the food. So with devotion, you say these prayers and you think of the Lord coming and accepting the food. Say each one of those prayers three times, and then you can leave the plate for as long as is practical for your situation and let the Lord take. And then when you come back in, again, remember, if you're coming back into the altar area, to make some sound like clapping your hands and ring the bell, come back in, remove the plates, wash the place down, clean the plates, and then distribute the prasadam. Okay? So this, as I described it, this is the most simple way of offering. And there are other details that you can add in, and from the other Archanapadatis that you can do on the altar. There are a few more different steps and mantras, but there are details that surround this basic thing of cleanliness, offering in a personal way, putting them down, offering some prayers, and letting the Lord enjoy the food and then taking it away. Any questions? Yes. A microphone, because it's being recorded.
After it becomes prasadam, should we mix it in the bigger pots, in the pots of food, and then distribute to other people?
What do you have in your kitchen certification course? Do you mix it back in the pots? Yes, you can do that. When you're offering a large pot of khichdi, for instance, and you put the offering on the altar, then the whole pot's considered offered. So you can mix it back in. Yes?
When we ask Lord and our spiritual master to accept the asana, so asana should be in respective levels, like Lord is topmost and then like that. At the same, it should not be in the same level. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, that goes to personalness. Okay. You know, you arrange that to the best of your ability in each circumstances. Yes. Sukeshri? And then Rakshit?
I was wondering, Prabhuji, like if we make bhoga for a whole week or, you know, for a few days, gulab jamun or, you know, chivda. So when we offer that little bit at that time, does it depend that what we offer from our mind? We
yes.
think that, okay, this is the little thing that we want to offer.
Yeah, it's how
today.
It's designated. So you see how this is a lot by your own consideration, how you're offering. It's very personal. So if you have a tray of sandesh and you're intending to offer that over 3 days, you'll take the portion that you're going to offer, and the other portion you'll leave separate. It's, I'm not offering this, I'm offering this. In other cases, you'll say, I'm offering the whole thing. Please, you know, take it. And then it's all considered offered. Rakshit had a question.
Yes. Okay. If multiple items are made at a given time, are each and every one offered?
If
multiple food items.
Meaning?
Let's say that I would use the word menu. Let's say there are five, six different things that have been prepared. Would each of them be offered?
Yes. Yeah. You make it like if you have pakoras and halva and you put them all on the plate and offer them all at the same time. Yes. Yeah. Like, well, if someone will cook something for you and then she brought it out one at a time, that when you know you'd like it all at the same time. Like bring it as a meal, right?
No. The question was not about the same time. I was saying multiple items are made. Let's say there are 10 or 12 different items. Okay?
Yeah.
Preparations are made. Are each of those, a sample of each of those offered?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yeah. Yes. It was the same question and answer that then if you consider it like that, then all of it gets offered. Last question. Microphone's not on. Still not on. Thank you for catching that. Where's my Tulsi? Did I get Tulsi here? There's Tulsi.
So, like, if we don't have the Tulsi, then what we should do?
If you don't have Tulsi, then use a Tulsi stick. If you don't have a Tulsi stick, then say Tulsi. But you can get Tulsi. There's lots of devotees around the neighborhood that have Tulsi. And you can get a bag of Tulsi and keep it in your home. Okay? We're going to, that's the end of the questions for now because we don't have time. We're going on to a couple other items. And may I have a picture of Prabhupada and the Panchatattva up here too, please? Inamasanam, I'm Gurave Namaha, Inamasanam, Panchatattva Ki Jai. So, the Lord is there. You show the plate. You bring it in a clean way. Your spiritual master is there. You ask permission. You make the offering. You say the prayers. That's as simple as it. I wanted to make it very, very simple. So that's the basic process. So practice it. Just start doing it, and you'll see little adjustments that you have to make. And then as you wish, then you can get into more details. That's a personal thing that you can get into. offering, there's a few more details in how to offer. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Now we're going to do a very quick exercise in how to perform achman. How many here already know how to perform achman? Raise your hand. How many here regularly say achman? Okay. So we have some achman cups. We're going to pass them around. You can make little groups around an achman cup. There's three of them there. We need some water in them. Someone would take them and fill them up with clean water. Here's a few more. Can you fill these up? These couple need to be washed out too before. Quick as you can. Okay, so the process of achman is for purification. And as the achman cups are coming back, I'm just going to explain the process. There's an extended achman and there's a simple achman, which we're going to talk about today. And if someone would like, they can pass out these sheets. Called Sipping Water for Purification. Here you are. Oh, sorry. Malini, you want to set up your screen real quick? You might as well start that process. Okay, is everyone near or have an achman cup? So, always perform achman before entering the deity room to worship the Lord. Sit in a proper sitting place. If there's no asana, kneel on your right knee touching the floor and your left foot flat on the floor. With the achman patra filled with water, clean both hands by sprinkling them with water. One hand, two hands. Sprinkle both hands with water. Go ahead and do that. Just one time is fine. Just put water on both hands. Now, you hold the achman cup, the achman spoon in your left hand, and you hold out your right hand like this. The right hand, if you cup it like this, at the very bottom of it, there's a little spout that comes down through the bottom of your palm, and that's where you drink the water from. They have this in Japan, too. When you go into any these temples we visit in Japan, outside the temple, they have these little bamboo cups, and everyone goes and does their achman before they go into the temple. It's purification of the mind and the body. Now, if you make a little cup in your hand like this, then while looking at the water, you'll put a few drops into your right palm. So take your spoon, and you put a few drops into your right palm like that, and you'll notice the water's in a little pool in your palm. And then you say the mantra right into the water. You're surcharging the water with mantra, and then you say, Om Keshavaya Namaha. Now, you tip your hand back and let the water slide into your mouth like this. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Like that. Don't slobber all over your hand. Just put your bottom lip close to your hand, and then practically fling the water back into, very good, with finesse, like Shigovinda Datto is doing. Then put three more drops into your palm again, and you're going to surcharge the water with mantra that's going to go down your esophagus into your belly, purify your whole body with this mantra. You say, Om Narayanaya Namaha, and sip. Three more drops. same thing, Om Madhavaya Namaha, and drink it. And then there's extended Achman that goes on from there. But that'll be on your sheet. You can practice that. And it involves putting mantras on all parts of your body. It's a lot of fun to do. You practice this at home, and you can do it all within a few seconds. But these first three mantras are basic Achman. Learn to do this before you make an offering. And you'll do it at other times too, because you'll feel so peaceful when you do this and purified that you'll want to do it before you say your Gayatri, before you read Shastra even. Sometimes it's nice to do that, feel purified. Question? Go ahead. Microphone.
Prabhuji, I've seen that devotees, doing it three times. When you're putting water in three times and then saying one mantra and then doing it.
Detail. This is fine, what we're doing here. Anything else? Om Keshavaino, Om Narayanainam, Om Madhavainam, bus. You're out the door. Okay? So everyone, yes, one last question. If you have a really small spoon, you may need to put a few drops of water. Main point is to get some water in your palm. Whether it's three or two, it's not going to kill you. Because sometimes the spoon's so small, there's nothing to sip, So you put a few drops. It's touching water. It's doing the mantra. It's the principle of it. And the detail of exactly how you do it is not that important. Okay? Now everyone do Achman, and then we'll move on to Tilak. On your mark, get set, Achman. Go do your Achman. If you don't have a cup, here's one. Okay. But just do it on your own once. Anyone who's not used to it, do it. And someone who knows how to do it, make sure they do it right. But do it quickly. Say the mantras nice and loud so everyone can hear it. And by the way, when you take the Achman, each time you take it, you don't have to sweep your hand over your head. Generally, you take it, the mantras, it's purifying. Sometimes it's always taken, then. Very good. Taking it over your head? It's not necessary. Okay? Did you do Achman? Okay. So get your own Achman cup at home and practice this. Do Achman on a regular basis. Before you make an offering, say your Achman. Next thing is applying Urva Pundra. Urva Pundra means the up and down lines of Vaishnav Tilak. And you apply it on various parts of your body. First is the forehead. And then there's the belly, the chest, the throat, the side, then there's the arm, the shoulder, then coming out of the other side here, then the arm. See, I have my tilak here. So in the morning, or any time you take bath, then you can say Achman and apply your Urdhva Pundra. And each place where you put the Urdhva Pundra, it's sacred clay. And this sacred clay, you say the mantras, and Krishna resides as a deity in different parts of the body. So when they say the body is a temple, it's literal. And this is considered to be the footprint of the Lord on your head. And you can remember, by having the Lord's footprint on your head, you'll remember him all the time. And other people will too, because when they see you, they'll go like, huh? And then they'll say, what are you? And then you can tell them. And so this is part of the process of becoming a Vaishnav, is wearing Urva Pundra. So now we have Tilak available. All those who have Tilak, please take it out. Who has Tilak here? Raise your hand. Who has fortunate enough to chunk a Tilak? Please raise your hand if you have Tilak in your group. Who needs Tilak? Okay. Can someone distribute Tilak to those who need it? Along with your... So it's nice to have along with your tilak, you can have a little mirror So all of you can go out today and get a little mirror like this somewhere. Because then, wherever you are, when you put on your forehead the tilak, then you can just look in the mirror and you can apply it like this. And I'm going to pass out a sheet that tells you how to put on your tilak. Thank you. Oh, look at this. Okay, these are available from, how much are they? $3 from the gift shop. So if you, you want to take your tilak, if you don't have it at home, you don't have any with you, take some and then just pay her the $3 afterwards from the gift shop. Is that okay? There's also tilak stamps. And how much are the stamps? Stamps are $5. So the tilak chunk is $3, and then you can get a stamp like this for the rest of your body. This doesn't work on your forehead, by the way, because it's too rigid. You can't do that. But it does work on all the other parts of your body, and it's a pretty quick, efficient way to apply your tilak around your body. I always use a stamp. So you can get a stamp for $5, okay? There's a couple more mirrors here if you need them. Are you ready? Is everyone ready? Is anyone not ready? Okay. You'll see at the top there's several verses I've included from the different Puranas about the glories of wearing tilak. Is everyone paying attention? Work with me, devotees. Okay. Are you ready? Okay. At the top of the page, there are a few verses out of thousands that are available glorifying wearing tilak. In the Shastra, it's mentioned how anyone who wears tilak becomes purified and anyone who sees it becomes purified. It's a sign of Vishnu. And also the Yamadutas stay really far away from people who have tilak on. Keep that in mind. They make a wide circle around you when you're wearing tilak. So here's how to apply your tilak. You put water in your left hand like this from your achman. And then you take your chunk of tilak and you'll put it into that little pool of water in your left hand and turn it around. Now, just like making bread, anyone who makes bread or chapatis, you know that the dough's got to be the right consistency, otherwise it comes out way too hard and brittle or way too soft. So when you're making your tilak too, you'll get used to like the right consistency. It's an art. And you'll learn just what consistency you need to apply it so that it comes out nice and straight and smooth, okay? So you apply the tilak, and you'll make the tilak in your hand, the palm of your left hand with a little water. And the mantras you say while you're making it are right in the middle of the page here. They're like this. Lalate, say it together. Lalate Keshavam Dhyayan Narayana Matodare Vakshastali Madvam Tu Govindam Kantakupake Vishnum Cha Dakshine Kuksau Bahucha Madhusudanam Trivikramam Kandre Tu Vamanam Vam Parksvike Shridaram Vamabaho Tu Hrishikesham Chakundare Friste Cha Padmanabham Cha Katyam Dhamadaranyasyat. So while you're saying that mantra, you can make a little, you can keep this right by where you make your tilak. I keep mine in my room in a little basket like this, and it has all the tilak and everything nicely inside here. And then if you want to, you can just keep this mantra, nice if you put it in a plastic sheet because it'll get wet and tilak on it, until you learn it by heart. And then you'll have the tilak made in your hand like this. One thing I'm going to do, I'm going to wash my face, and then I'm going to reapply tilak.